helping those who unexpectedly lost their jobs at the Tyson plant. And one way to remember 9/11, 25 years later, in the cities. One of the lasting memories of the 9/11 terrorist attacks was seen hundreds of miles from New York, Washington, and Pennsylvania. A musical is staged that celebrates that one community's outpouring of help. That's just ahead. But first, losing 2,700 jobs in a matter of hours. When Tyson announced it would close the Joslyn meatpacking plant, it shocked families and communities. And there is now a coordinated effort to help those workers, many of them immigrants, to this country. The Quad Cities Alliance for Immigrants and Refugees, known as QC Air, is one of those groups that's providing help. And we talked with Amy DeHaven, QC Air's executive director. Are we over our shell shock moment right now in regards to the Tyson plant closing? Because the floor just simply got knocked out from under a lot of these workers.
I think it's just starting to kind of process just how significant this is going to be. I don't even know the last time this many individuals have been laid off from an employer. Yeah. The last I've heard, I think the largest was 450 with John Deere when that happened, but it was also in stages. This is a large amount of people. And looking for employment that's already kind of struggling. And then not to mention how many of these individuals have language barriers. Some are the only breadwinner for very large families. Especially they have so many loans and mortgages within our community too, how that's going to impact us on many levels.
Because a number of these employees, about 2,700 workers at the Joslyn Tyson plant, are immigrants. They're migrants to America.
A good majority of them, I guess.
And so it's tough enough for people who, like you said, who know the language and are native and know the area very well. It's much more difficult for a community that is just trying to learn the American way and get their footing here in the Midwest.
100%. I can only imagine how it's difficult to navigate our legal system and how our country works being a United States citizen. And then coming here, having it not be your language or not maybe even knowing the language, understanding our laws and how our country works, it's very difficult. They have a lot of struggles and barriers to overcome, and then trying to navigate the system of an already, I know a lot of employers that are closing and there's just not as much opportunity as we would like there to be.
What is QC Air doing for the immigrant community, and what can you do actually?
So we're doing as much as we possibly can. We're more than happy to help individuals with job searches, work on the resume, really anything that we possibly can help with. If it's something that we can't, we try to refer out. We're not the only organization, so it's QC Air, Tapestry Farms, World Relief, Aquaba QC, Welcome Center, which is through SAL, even Project Now. Community healthcare has individuals that can help with Medicaid applications, but we're also very limited on the staff that we have and how many people we can process. It is absolutely amazing to see the community come together and just kind of help during this time. We've had a resource fair a few weeks ago, just to make individuals aware of what resources are available. And then the job fair was last week. American Jobs and Iowa Works are also have additional job fairs coming up through World Relief, Tapestry Farms, and us. We're having two additional job application fairs for immigrants on September 8th and the 14th. That's just kind of help with the process. And get them kind of through the application and have translators available to assist. But again, the reality is we're all limited. Resources are getting cut. The wait might be kind of lengthy to get into some of these places just because we have scant number of people that can help, and a lot of these applications are very lengthy. So we'll do everything that we can to work together. And again, the community, how much they are showing up for this event just fills me with so much grace and compassion and gratitude for people coming together and willing to work together for this.
Well,
get people back on their feet.
There's two things, and I don't mean to tell you your job, but there's two things that you have to deal with, of course, and that is the short term, getting these people going from the shock into jobs or something, and then the long term, you know, keeping people in the community as many as you can. And I know you're not quite to the long term yet. I mean, you're just dealing with the short term right now. How tough is the short term when you're talking about, we talked about job fairs, we're talking about resource fairs. How much fear with the people that you know is there? Because like you said, there's large families. They have to feed their breadwinners. And the short term gap would be the most frightening of all.
Very much so. I am grateful that Tyson at least are paying them through October, but again, that's very short. And even to apply for Medicaid, unemployment, those systems are already overrun, let alone to process that many individuals. It really is just, it's heartbreaking for what these individuals are going through. I would definitely recommend for individuals to understand what their rights are in this country, even though sometimes they're not always adhered to, as well as learn English to the best of your ability. I do appreciate culture and the diversity of the Quad Cities and how many languages are spoken. So many individuals are taken advantage of when they don't understand the basic English and laws in our country. So I'd really encourage people with that as well. And to be aware that they're not alone. Right now, there's so much anxiety, there's so much fear. And then on top of this, navigating this huge loss. So I'd also encourage people to be within their community. 988 is a great resource. The downside is I don't know how many translators they have. But in the event if you are feeling very anxious or have suicidal ideation, I encourage people to reach out. You do have a purpose, you do matter. There are also resources for anxiety and the things that you're going through, such as community healthcare has a sliding scale. Robert Young, Vera French sometimes are difficult to get into, but they do have resources there, as well as World Relief does have assistance for anybody that is needing somebody to talk to. And one of the things immigrants and refugees really do well is community, to make sure that you are speaking with people that are in your peer group, to know that you're not alone. You're not going through this by yourself. There's people that are experiencing the exact same things. And I just encourage you to build that community and work together.
You, QC Air is, and you had mentioned knowing your rights, and let's talk a little bit about that, because we have talked to QC Air over the last year, year and a half, in regards to the greater immigration enforcement, the ICE crackdowns, even the ICE, when you have to go in and register or go back for your citizenship, that there's rules that you have to make, check-ins. Tell me about... I'm going to ask both questions in regards to this. Tell me a little bit about how it's important to know your rights, because you have pointed out on your website and elsewhere, you need to have your papers ready with you at all times. You have to be really prepared to know your rights. And that's not easy.
It's not, especially if it's not your first language. But if you travel to any country, I strongly encourage you to know the laws of the land, to make sure that you're compliant, and that you're following, being a good citizen for wherever you are. But the great thing about the United States of America, there's rights for citizens and expectations, but there's also rights for everybody that is physically in the country regardless. No one is illegal. There are different statuses. There are people that come here for many different reasons. Many individuals come here because they have suffered a significant trauma within their country, and they're just trying to make a better life for themselves.
No, that's good.
But, yeah.
So they're making a better life for themselves, and that and that's not easy, because I guess in some ways there's just this foreboding feeling, almost like a dark cloud over your shoulder that I could be stopped at any time.
Yes.
Has that improved at all, or because there's been more deportations, is that a greater fear than ever?
I would say it's a greater fear than ever. I feel that there are many individuals that are even afraid to leave their home. And even citizens that have naturalized, but because they're not Caucasian or look different or maybe have an accent, are worried that they're still going to get detained. I can't speak for ICE or any of that organization, but what I can say is I do recommend having a plan, knowing what your rights are, that you do have a right to attorney. The downside is that it's very difficult right now to get attorneys. The wait is long. That's something I would actually recommend, speaking with somebody now, so you have somebody in the event something happens. I also would have a plan, get your items together as far as your documentation, your papers. If you have children, make sure that you have a plan for them. Is somebody able to pick them up if something happens to you? Who can take care of them? Who do you trust, especially with like your assets, if there's somebody that you need assistance with that? Even within families, there's kind of been issues as far as trusting people. So it's somebody that you know well, but getting a plan together just in case.
An outsider might say that's really a sad state of affairs, living in the United States of America, and that you're always worried that there's a knock on the door. Is that something that is that something that you've heard from the migrant community that lives here? Day in and day out, that's a constant fear.
Oh, definitely. And I won't say for every immigrant and refugee that's in the United States, because many of them have come from areas with very strict dictators. And I know an individual who actually is more peaceful here than in their country. And so it does vary, but overall I'm hearing more and more just the anxiety of living in this country, which is so sad that they came, so many people who have had traumatic experiences and, you know, finally found safety and then are just reliving additional trauma experiences in the United States.
And that trauma would be compounded if you lose your job.
Because
if you have an economic reason for being here, it's not a guarantee, of course, but it was like your feet on the ground. It was a sensibility that you do belong. So now you look at these Tyson workers, they've lost their jobs. Does that add that much more anxiety as far as their status for being in America?
For some, yes, and others that have naturalized, have a lawful permanent residence, is just maintaining that. So yes and no. I could see both aspects of that. I think it kind of varies and depends on the individual. But many of them have different statuses. And again, everybody comes for different reasons. There could be some people that came with a visa where they specifically need to have employment and have that employer sign up and have them on to maintain them in the United States.
Now, as we said, QC Air and the other organizations that you mentioned really are trying to do a short-term plan to help Tyson workers and their families as best you can. What do you think is the long-term goal that you're able to do? Because there could be a fear that there's a large number of people that leave the area because they have to find jobs somewhere else. Families will be uprooted, or do you see the opposite? Is that the core family is so strong that it would stay in the Quad City area?
I think it's a matter of how long it takes. There are some families that the household only has one income earner, and they're very large families. So, I mean, I encourage people to access resources, but those also could become depleted, and you may not have any other choice than to relocate. But I think immigrants and refugees really stimulate our economy in so many different ways, or it would be actually devastating, I think, to our economy if they do leave. So I really hope that we can find a way to find employment in our area and keep them here.
And lastly, to talk about something fun, of course, in East Moline, once again, you're holding Harmony Fest. It's what, September 19th?
September 19th from 2 to 7:30. We have a lot of great things going on that day. So we encourage you to come out.
Family dances. Friendly, celebrate diversity in the Quad Cities.
Yes.
I mean, it's been so successful in the past.
Yes. So we're excited to have it again. So we encourage everybody to come out. There will be an art contest, dancers, musicians. We have a band. All sorts of things, but we encourage everybody to come out. And if you are able, some of the funding we did lose through East Moline, Main Street, and QCR for a toy giveaway in the fall or in the winter. So if you're able, if you could bring a new unwrapped toy, and then we'll use that for our giveaway for individuals and kids in the winter.
So once again, September 19th in the heart of East Moline, Harmony Fest. Be there, have some fun, and help out the community.
Yes, yay.
Our thanks to Amy DeHaven, QC Air's Executive Director. Still ahead, a unique memory of 9/11 put to music. That's just ahead. But your local public television station is launching right now, Keep WQPT Strong. It's a new campaign to raise $1.3 million to support operations for WQPT, which no longer receives federal funding and must rely on you, community support. To become one of WQPT's 4,200 members and join the Keep WQPT Strong community-funded campaign, head to our website, wqpt.org. Now let's check out some of the events scheduled in the cities, thanks to Visit Quad Cities.
Check out the things to do this week in the Quad Cities. Start your week off by watching baristas battle it out at Country Club Coffee's first annual barista battle. Next, head to the Rock Island Arsenal for a family-friendly event packed with German-inspired fun, food, and music. Then head to Niobe Zoo to sip on local brews as you explore and see the many animal species. Then enjoy the German-American Heritage Center and Museum's 5th Annual Oktoberfest in K-Square. Finally, watch as the Quad City Rollers take on the Skunk River Riot over at the QCCA Event Center. For more events like these, check out our events calendar at visitquadcities.com.
This is the 25th anniversary of the worst terrorist attack on U.S. soil. The 9/11 attacks left deep scars in New York, Washington, and Western Pennsylvania, and let's be honest, throughout the nation as well. But it also left an impact in Gander, Newfoundland, a small Canadian community with a large airfield, big enough to land huge transatlantic flights. Now, residents played host to hundreds of passengers on 9/11 when flights were forced to be immediately grounded, and that memorable interaction was captured in a musical called Come From Away. The Black Box Theater in Moline completes its run of the production on September 12th, and the theater's co-founder, Laura Adams, joined us. You hear about the 9/11 stories, and we all have our own 9/11 story on what happened that day and the days after. But the story in Gander, Newfoundland is just amazing, and that's the point of Come From Away.
It is. It's a really wonderful musical, and because it was the 25th anniversary, it actually held a spot in my schedule, hoping against hope that I would be able to get the rights to it. Circa had, had done it, and then I figured, my little 60-seat theater was not going to be number one on the hit parade, but the morning that it became available, I was like, to my representative, and when they said I got it, I was really very happy. It is about generosity and kindness, and not everything is, sugar plums and all that sort of thing within it, but it does talk about the human spirit. And one of the things that at least I feel these days is that we don't have enough of that kindness going around, people just generally being kind. And so it was one of the reasons I wanted to do it so badly. And, we have 15 people on the stage plus nine musicians in the pit. I mean, it's a very, very, very full sound, and it's really quite lovely.
Yeah, and it really does kind of take you back to a time when everyone did come together. But the fact that these were Canadians in kind of a remote area, Gander, Newfoundland, but they had the airfield, and you look at the pictures from back then, and you see these jetliners lined up one after another, with no place to go.
no place to go. And the only reason that existed was because back in the day, you had to refuel if you were coming mm-hmm. from Europe. And so that's why Gander had that happened, especially during World War II. And so they had never gotten around to taking that away, you know, raising it and doing any of that sort of thing. So they were the normal or the place where people would have had to go. And all of these planes, those folks were on the tarmac for hours and hours and hours. And one of the songs in the show is about how they just get sauced, you know, because they have nothing to do. So the pilots are trying to say, how do we keep these people? So they just gave them little liquor bottles. But I think that's one of the things that's the charm of the piece, because it is very simple. It's a very simple thing to say, these people are coming here, what do we do? As opposed to, these people are coming here, I don't care.
It's so unique also to tell a story through a musical.
Yes.
Is that what attracts you to this version?
I think it's because it's got sort of a Celtic kind of feel to it. And that just in and of itself has a very welcoming kind of, musicality to it. But I think more than that, it is because we are such an intimate theater, the people who are coming out now from seeing it are, A, in tears, which
I was going to ask about the emotional response.
Yes, and a lot of gentlemen, which is always interesting to me that that the men kind of get verklempt over
We're
over
sensitive
things.
Too, Laura.
I know, but I'm being stereotypical here. But I think more than anything, it is the fact that they are so close and they are literally, you know, the first row is 6 feet away from where the actors are. Mm-hmm. And so there's a feeling of really being a part of it. And not sort of a proscenium and that sort of thing, but instead being a part of the story.
In so many different ways, you know this so well, is actors really feel the sense of the audience. They feed off it or they emote off of it. How tough has it been for your actors to relive something from 25 years ago that is painful? The event is painful, the story is uplifting.
Well, I would say that most of the actors are of an age where they have some memory. I think there's only one who was not alive when this happened. And so they all have some memory. And so when we started talking about the people they're portraying, because by and large they're portraying real people, that there's a lot of research to be done. It's not something they have to make up out of whole cloth. And so there is an element of that, but more than that, they tell me that when they're doing it, they are feeling like they're giving something to the audience. That this is a gift to the audience. And you know, when you can have that kind of relationship with the audience, you can't beat that.
Yeah, I was going to say nothing better than that. Happy 10th anniversary of Black Box Theater.
Thank you very much. You know, the fact that we made it through COVID was kind of a little bit of a miracle. I always tell people this story because, you know, we make our money because people sit in seats. And having no one in the seats, you're like, how am I going to pay rent? And so I'd called up my representatives and I was saying, I need to get my deposits back for the plays coming up because I got to pay rent. And they're like, oh, it might be 2-3 months, because let's face it, they were facing the same kind of thing. And about 2 weeks later, I went in to sort of see if the spiders had taken over or whatever. And there were two envelopes on the floor. And one of them was my refund check. And I was like, oh, great, I can pay my rent. And the other one was from someone I didn't know. It was an address I didn't recognize. And inside was just a little note that said, thank you for what you do for the theater. And they sent me $3,000.
Wow.
And I literally went to my knees and was crying because I could stay open not knowing what was coming down. And again, it is that kindness that you don't expect. It is that generosity of spirit that we don't expect these days. We just don't expect to get it from people. And so I credit that with helping the theater stay open.
Well, I want to, you know, with your 10th anniversary, I want to point out, through October, I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change.
Yes, it's a musical review.
Another musical review, yes.
And then we're going to follow that with the Minutes by Tracy Letts.
That's,
And I planned that around election time because it literally is about a small city council where pretty much people are not telling the truth. Politicians are not telling the truth. It's absurd.
It is, well, from a very small town, and the Minutes being keeping the minutes of
keeping
a meeting.
Keeping the minutes of a meeting, yes.
And you know that one
and
would...
And they're redacting it, you know.
You know that would be the one that I'd want to go to.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
That plays into my personality. I think it's a trick. I love you, you're perfect, now change. You like doing some musicals there, even though your venue is relatively small. Is that difficult to stage?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, this is the most people I've ever had on the stage. I did Hello Dolly once, and people were like, it can't happen. And this is very much bigger than that.
Interesting.
But you know, where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
And we simply staged it for our stage, which happens to be very long and very shallow, and it worked out very well. And we have 9 people in the pit, so it's
wow.
kind of like craziness.
And you don't even have a pit.
No, we don't have a pit. Yes, so
but
yeah.
I think in some ways, because your theater is like you said, is it 3 or 4 rows?
It's 3
deep.
Rows.
3 rows deep. And in a way, like you said, it's long, but it's 3 rows. You do get an immersive experience is what I'm getting at.
Absolutely. You know, that when we do improv, it's very different there than other theaters because they are literally within feet of the people who are performing. And they really get into it because a lot of that is about people giving them feedback. You know, that's what improv's always about. So you get that a lot, especially within this show and any of the other shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people tend to like to feel that they're a part of the action, that
sure.
they're not just an observer, but they're giving something themselves. And it's all good.
Come From Away, just ending right now at the Black Box.
Yes.
I Love You, You're Perfect, now change in October. The Minutes coming up in November. Happy 10th anniversary.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Our thanks to Black Box Theater co-founder Laura Adams. On the air, on the radio, on the web, on your mobile device, and streaming on your computer, thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.